Chapter 1. John begins words that would have been very familiar, that a real echo in them, because he was the one who said, in the beginning was the Word with God. And that in itself echoed of the very first words of the Bible, in the beginning God, Genesis 1:1. And he's kind of continuing that very theme with the very first words that he has here as he opens this letter to encourage those who are following Jesus in his day, in which the Holy Spirit uses down through the ages to do the same for Christ's people. John, 1 John chapter 1 and from verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. It's all code for Jesus. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Amen. This is God's word, and may the Spirit of Christ bless it to us today. Do that reading, and 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to look at that passage with you. See if I can move this out of the road. Bend down to my notes. Just as well, your next minister is a wee fellow. Okay. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. I believe it's got a lot that can help us on a day like today when we come to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Verse 2 says to us that the life appeared. We have seen it. And talking here of Jesus, he has appeared. We have seen him, if you like, and testify to him. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. This is a beautiful passage that brings before us something of the wonder and uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And it wants to bring to us a picture of certainty, a picture of reality, of just how real Jesus Christ is. Now, in our present age of equality and tolerance for all, I'm pretty sure as we come up to the Christmas season that the BBC will probably put on some kind of program that will convince us of the lack of history behind the Christian faith. And it will almost surreptitiously trying to undermine any sense of confidence that Christianity has good historical basis. They have a habit of doing this at Christmas or Easter. Often programs will appear that deny the reality of the things that John is talking about, that we are celebrating today, of who we seek to follow in our lives. And I wonder if they will ever do a similar program, for example, on Islam, and try and deny some of its claims, challenge its history, or the character of Muhammad. I suspect that would be quite dangerous if they tried that. So they may be unlikely to go there. But Christians, well, we're fair game because we seek to love our enemies. We've always had to and always will have to deal with such denials. They're not new. They're here today. And your children that you seek to bring up in the faith are going to have to live with them tomorrow. And perhaps for some of you here today, you may be a visitor, you may be just sounding out Christianity for the first time. And maybe this is actually where you are. You're not quite sure about the realities of what the church professes to believe. The reality of this idea that Jesus Christ is alive. That Jesus Christ is real. And that he changes people's lives, and that he's even here today, and in a very special way, through the bread and the wine, his people might know him, and might know more of him, because he is so real. For John, that's what excited him. That's what he sought to proclaim. He's proclaiming here the very reality of Christ. He's overcoming a certain resistance that was amongst the people that he was writing to. And he paints before us the spiritual reality of Christ. The reality of Jesus can be seen first and foremost in history. These words that he says here, the life appeared. In those words, he is expressing the entire life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's talking from the Christmas story through to Good Friday, his crucifixion, and the resurrection and ascension. And he's remembering those events as he spent them as an eyewitness for 3 years with Jesus as one of his closest followers. And he is marveling at the reality of it. It was flesh and blood reality. He could touch him. He could see him. He could listen to Jesus. And it changed his life. And he was proclaiming it then, and we're proclaiming it today, because the same is true. This Jesus still will change people's lives. And if you're a Christian today, he's only begun the process, in a sense, of changing your life when you became his follower. And if you're not a Christian today, and you come and realize that Christ is in this place, Christ is speaking to you, and that Jesus is calling you, and he is going to change your life, that change can be so profound. You can come in one way, but you can leave this building today an entirely different person through an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's quite some claim, is it not? Yet that is exactly what we sing about, what we read about, what we celebrate with bread and wine. It is exactly what's changed so many lives in this congregation through the years. Because, as with John, the reality of this Jesus can hit home. And for John, that's what had happened. He had witnessed that mighty appearance, and now he sought to proclaim it, that his readers could participate, could enjoy the fellowship that he had known and continued to know now with the risen Jesus. You see, life is all about relationships. think we all know that on a good day, that what makes life worth living isn't your career, isn't necessarily your great aspirations for the kind of house that you will live in, what you'll do with your life, but it's the people in your life that really make life, life, that really fill your life with something. And so John is saying, that's it. We've got a possibility of knowing this Jesus. We knew him. He was real. He came amongst us. He touched us. He touched our lives. We heard. We saw. And now, you too, he's saying, can know that relationship with this living, risen Jesus Christ. That's what we have before us. One who can bring such change, such transformation, such hope for a broken world. The choices are simple. Either there is no God, or there is a very distant kind of God. It's maybe in everything, but not personal, or very far away. Or there is the God who has appeared. The God who came down and became like one of us, a human, so that we would be able to come to know him in the best possible way. And so that's what John seeks to proclaim, and that's what we continue to proclaim in our churches. This reality has to hit home to each one of us. For some of us, it can be as gentle as a tap on the shoulder. You may be coming to church for years, you may be going through the youth fellowship, the camp system, whatever it might be. You may come into church for the first time and it hits you as gently as a tap on the shoulder, how real this Jesus is. And it begins a process of change. For some of you, though, it won't be like a tap on the shoulder. It'll hit you like a cricket bat in the face. It'll hit you so hard because maybe there's a stubbornness in your heart today. And the reality of God has been so far from you that it'll take something pretty hard, something pretty brutal to hit home and to waken you up to the fact that something marvelous has happened in this world, that the life has appeared. And that can begin the process of overcoming the resistance. And for John, that was a major concern in his letter. You could skip forward to chapter 4, verse 3, or a second letter in verse 7, where he says, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. He's writing to deal with heresies in his day, people who swam like fish in a sea of doubt, who denied that Jesus was God come in the flesh, and therefore sucked all the strength and vitality out of the Christian message. Unless it's real history, unless he was a real flesh and blood man who did live the life that we should have lived and who did die the death that we owe to God for our sins and then rose on the third day physically, we have no hope. We have no message of hope. We have nothing to proclaim, but we do have a message to proclaim. That's why you're all here today, because you know that, or you're seeking it and you're hoping it's true. So for John, he had to deal with those who sought to deny that simple historical reality of Jesus Christ. And so his teaching here, his emphasis on the reality of the one who has come amongst us, that they could physically touch him, the way he does this, the theology of it all, it comes, is born out of this conflict with those who deny it. And sometimes it is conflict that produces the best theology. Sometimes it's conflict, as I said, that can bring you to God in a very clear and definitive way. That's true in all kinds of ways in life. I mean, medically, they'll say it's often conflict, it's war that has led to the best developments in medicine so often. Recently, with the troubles in the Near East, army medics who were working in Iraq discovered that if troops were given extra plasma, which contains agents that help blood clot, that almost doubles survival rates. That has now been taken and transferred into the NHS. That blessing came out of the conflict zone, but brought a blessing to the rest of life. And so often the theology of the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, can be born out of such conflict, but bring such riches to us. And that's exactly what John is dealing with here. And in a similar way, some of the biggest spiritual advances that you or I will make in life will come from times of conflict. Such things are not wasted by your God. In fact, He uses them to convince you at a deeper and deeper level of the realities of your faith, of the reality that Jesus Christ is who He is. God appeared amongst us. The reality of the one who said, "I will never leave you." But so often, it's the times of conflict and trial, whether it's illness or whether it's trouble in your relationships in life that just drive you closer to God. You see how He works? Nothing is ever wasted with God. So don't despair in such time of conflict. John certainly didn't hear. He proclaimed with boldness the realities. He defended them so clearly. And so these are the times that God may appear most powerfully in your life. And there is no more real solution to real problems than God. And so you have to be convinced of the reality of God revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Now you either need to ask for that gift of faith for the first time today, and you are clearly invited to do so. That's why Jesus has brought you here. Or you may come and you may have your faith fed today, so that these realities that John remembered, that he had seen, that he had heard, that he had touched, that in the same way would come close and come home to you today. So that for all of us, through what we do here today, whether you take the bread or the wine, or whether you simply watch it being taken by others, that through it all of us might have our faith fed, or we might have faith received for the very first time as a gift, that our eyes would be opened to the reality of Jesus Christ, alive and well, changing people's lives today. Do you have that grip, that grasp upon that reality today? That's what God wants you to have as you go out the door. That's what God wants you to build everything that you do as a church upon. To have that kind of confidence in Jesus Christ and what He is still doing in this world through His Word and His Spirit and His people, so that others will become convinced of these realities. Now, today, the spiritual reality that Christ is with us today. It's quite acceptable today to be into spiritual things, even in our skeptical age. But this brings us to why we're here today. Because of the reality of the spiritual, which more and more people are open to today. That's what we celebrate. That's what makes the Lord's Supper so special for us, is that it allows us, as it, like John, to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, when we turn in a moment to take the bread and the wine, well, what is it? It's physical. It's meant to be physical. It's meant to have that reality about it in order to communicate to us the reality of Jesus Christ. And of Jesus Christ, whom he says dwells in you by faith. And so for that knowledge, for that reality to be refreshed in you, to be strengthened in you, to grow in you, he gives you something physical. And so as John saw Jesus, well, you see Jesus today through his word. You even see him through the symbols of the bread and the wine, of his body and his blood, so that you might do all in remembrance of him. So that you might do more than an act of remembrance, but have an act of communion with him who is here. You hear him speak to you through his word today. But now you're also, in a similar kind of way, as John touched Jesus, you touch something physical and real. You touch a cup, you lift it to your lips, you drink real wine into you. You take a piece of bread that's real. You can smell that wine, you can smell the bread. You can eat it, you can taste it. You see what's happening? With the communion, every one of your senses can be involved. Even smell, and touch, and taste, and sight, and hearing. As it all comes to us with the Word of God. Why? So that the reality that we have Jesus Christ, more importantly, that he has us in his hands, will grip us today in a fresh way. That he might feed us today with what? With nothing less than himself. That he is as here, and the reality of that is as real as the bread that you will be holding in a moment in your hands, as the cup of wine in your hands, and you take to your lips, and you eat, and you drink, and you take something physical inside you. And what is it doing? It's reminding you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is not the bread, he is not in the bread, under the bread, or anything like that, but he will take it. And as your hand reaches out to take the bread and the cup, the way you receive Christ is the hand of faith must reach out. And as you physically feed your mouth, so the mouth of your soul, the mouth of your faith, receives Christ. And this physical reality will help you do that spiritual reality. It will help you to have nothing less than communion with the risen, living Jesus Christ who moves amongst us today. So normally, in a service, you have the Word of God. Well, you can hear it with your ears. You can maybe read it with your eyes. That's two senses. But today there is touch. Today there is taste. Today there is even smell. All of these senses now, adding to the normal two that we use in worship, enable us to get a better grip upon this reality that Jesus Christ is here amongst us. Friends, this should be rocket fuel to your soul today. For you're here not to receive a piece of bread and wine. You're here to receive Christ. You're here to receive the very life of God in your soul, and nothing less. And that's what John went on to say. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice he doesn't say, our fellowship is with God. That's too general to really understand what this life is that we can know in our very souls today. What is life? We said it earlier on. Life is about relationships. And in these very words, John is inviting us to have a deep relationship of love with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. That's why he doesn't just say with God, but he breaks it down with Father and Son. With God, it's like saying, well, here's a nice car. But when he says Father and Son, but let's look underneath the bonnet, let's go a little bit deeper, let's see how all this works, so we can understand, well, what is life? What is eternal life? What is it to have eternal life now? As well as what will it be to have eternal life then, after you die? What is it? It is to know, to be in a relationship with the Father, God the Father, to be in a relationship with God the Son, to be in a relationship with God the Holy Spirit that's so real that you are called a temple of the Holy Spirit, that He dwells in you now. So when you take the bread and you take the wine into you, you're remembering that fact. It feeds our faith. And it has to be bread that's torn, and it has to be wine that's poured out, because all of this possibility of tasting life today came through one who had wounds, through one who had to be nailed to a tree, who had to be butchered, as it were, who had to give up his life in order to give us life. Friends, that is the love that Jesus Christ has for us and has for you. That's the love that has laid that table and that you're going to celebrate in a moment. And if you don't yet know this life in your own soul, that's the life that's reaching out to you now. That's the invitation that we're proclaiming to you. Come. For He has come. He came down from heaven that they may have life and they may have life to the full. He comes still in His mission through His disciples, His church today. He's coming to us right now in this meal. And one day, He will come again to consummate it all because of His passionate love for His bride. You are His bride. So friends, John got excited about the reality of touching and seeing Jesus Christ. Let the sacrament this morning, today, excite you and feed you and bless you. That you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you are in Christ. You are in union with the one who is life itself. When you get that clear, everything else will flow from that in your life. Thanks be to God that He is here and with us this morning. Amen. Let's pray.